Refuah Shleima, Avram Berel Ben Sarah. Okay. Truma, Tavshinayin Tes. Okay. So we're going to look at the menorah. Let's look here at the last page first here. It's got a picture of the menorah. Wow, nice picture of the menorah. The menorah is 18 tefachim tall. It's about 5'8", 5'9", right? In height, somewhere around there. And we see the central shaft is called the koneh, right, of the menorah. And we have three adornments on the menorah. We've got gvim, like cups, kaftorim, balls, they look like apples, sort of, and prachim, flowers. Okay? And the they were all told there were 22 gvim.
Which one was the cups?
Cups, right? And 11 kaftorim, maples. And record, and there are how many? I think nine. Where is it? And nine flowers. Nine flowers.
What's just the flames?
Those are like the flames. The record, the nine flowers, and that all adds up to 42. 42. That'd be a special shame of Hashem. Membez, Hashem Membez, which is associated with Maisa Bereishis. Okay, but that's, you know, whatever. That's not per se our topic. The menorah was made up, and here's a base, right, of the menorah. The base of the menorah. And it goes up. And the cups, right, the whole menorah, except for the cups, was all made of one mass of gold. Right, there was beaten gold. You know, there was no separate pieces, you know, soldered on or anything like that. All one massive piece of gold, except for the cups. The cups rested on the top. They weren't part of that one kikar of zav that was used to make the menorah.
How much did it weigh?
A lot.
Two people got to lift it? One was not.
So, I mean, that's a lot of gold. That's guns heavy.
I don't know.
Yeah. Imagine how much the iron weighed. I think the mob made a cheshire.
The iron was only gold lined.
Yeah, it had, what do you call it? It had, you know, three or almost. It was an outer one of gold, an inner one of gold, and the what do you call it? And then the middle
gold,
one of
gold. Plated, though.
Right. Okay, fine. The Seder. So let's take a look over here. Let's take a look on the about the menorah. There's a lot of symbolism. I mean, we know we've done in previous years, we've done the malbim. Right, on the Rimzei HaMishkan, and the Malbim on the Rimzei Big Day Kahuna, right? And those of
Mishkan.
Right, so what do you call it? So, you know, the different Kalim, what they represented, etc. So I think we're going to look at the menorah this time, with a little bit of a different vantage point. The menorah, Hu Ha'adam, the menorah is like a person itself. This is very interesting.
I thought the Mishkan was like
the what do you call that's when the Malbim himself, when he talked about the entire Rimzei Mishkan, so he talked about the structure of the Mishkan being like a person, like the Kodesh Kodashim being like the what do you call it, the brain, and the Heichal or the Kodesh being like the thoracic section, right? What do you call the heart, the lungs, etc.
That was the Mishkan.
Right, that was the Mishkan. That's the way the Malbim understood it. We're not going to use the Malbim today. We're going to go with different Perushim and the, what do you call, going to address the specific Kalim.
It's getting warm now.
Okay. You want to lower the heat?
Yeah. Thank you. Aren't you getting
the way you want. Okay, so let's see the Sifsei Kohen first. The Sifsei Kohen first. The Sifsei Kohen, the Shach from what do you call it, from Tzvas. He says, Od Ne'amar, Ki Adam Hu Remez Lakone Emtsai Sha'ola Ad Hamoach. The menorah, mm-hmm. The central shaft is like what you call it, is like the spine rising up to the brain of the person. Ushlosha kneha menorah mitzida echad, and the three, right, the three branches of the menorah to one side. Huyad are what you call it, are the, are like a one hand, Sheesh Bashlosha Prakim, that there are three sections to the arm. The upper arm, right, and recorded the forearm, and the hand. Right, and these three, each one of these three is what he calls kilo. The upper arm, the what he called the forearm, and the hand. Shlosha Prakim, right, three with three joints, as it were, three sections. The Shiva Nero Seha, and the seven Neros, right, on the top. Hem Shiva Nekovim Shibarosh. Those are the seven, as it were, orifices in what he called in the head. Shteinayim, Shneosteosnayim.
The seven
lower cups, right? Are connected to the seven orifices in what he called in the person's head. Two eyes, two ears, two nostrils, and the mouth. And the mouth is, that's the Ner Marovi. He's going with the Tzad over here, right? That did recall the menorah. There's a machlokas in the Gemara. Dov and I were actually discussing it before. There's a machlokas in the Gemara how the menorah was aligned. Was it aligned north-south or east-west, right? If it's recalled east-west, so then the Ner Marovi, right, Dov pointed out, Narashi, in Merachos is the furthest, most western nair of the menorah. In other words, if the menorah, the Mishkan, remember, is going east-west, you come in, right, you go into the Kodesh, and you go to the Kodesh Kodashim, the westernmost side of the Mishkan itself, of the Ohel, is the Kodesh Kodashim. If the menorah is aligned east-west, so then the nair hamaravi, the western nair, is the most external, according to Rashi and Nachos, the most external near of the what he called near the parochas.
Okay, let's skip this because I can't picture it.
Okay, you're a hand eye man. What do you call it? Okay, but in any event, we're not going that sheet to here. He's going with the sheet that's going north south. That's going north south, and therefore the near Maravi, what he called is the reference to the middle near, right? Because
the middle near was the spine.
Right, that's what he called. Well, remember the near is the mouth. This is the kane, the shaft is the spine. And what we call these are the orifices in the head, right? Two eyes, two ears, two nostrils, one mouth. The mouth is the central nair, and the nair marav. Shasham arevus hamachal. Interesting. He calls it nair maravi, right? That's the player that where the pleasantness of the food. Also, I would assume it's meant to represent the pleasantness of one's speech, right? Right.
How do you get food and speech?
But they both go. Well, one goes into your mouth. One comes out of your mouth. Right. Umalkachel umachtoseha, and the tweezers, and the little shovels to clean out the old ashes. Yeah. Hema etzbos. These are like the fingers. Shalokeach behem umachte behem. Right. That one grasps with them and one cleans out with them. Right. Perish mekabel al yodam schar va'onesh, and the really called the tweezers. Really, one takes the schar va'onesh. Uperish with both reward and punishment. How so? Uperish malkacher shalokeach schar. I received what he called the schar. Received the reward. So that's what he called. That's the tweezers are called malkacher. The tweezers for being lokeach, for receiving reward. Umachtoseh perish onesh.
You use the tweezers to clean the cups.
To what do you call it? To fix the wicks.
Fix the wicks.
Right, okay.
How is that receiving reward?
The term for the tweezers is called malkocheha, miloshen lakicha, to receive reward. Umachtoseh perish onesh, right? Machtoseh, what do you call it? The things we use to shovel out the ashes, right, is receiving the onesh, right? Kmo hayechta ish eish becheko. It's like shoveling. The pasuk says in what he called in Mishle, like shoveling the coals into your bosom. What he called to be punished for avera. Ulaze hayu yamin usmol. And for that reason, the menorah is aligned right and left, and that's the idea. The right is always associated with reward, which is good. The left is always associated with din. So he has a picture of the menorah. Such a fascinating thing. This is very different. Then he's got the picture of the menorah as being a person. What he called the central shaft, cue, the spine leading up to what he called to the head.
The
gauze, what he called, and the hands. The what he called there is a regel also, by the way, on the what he called on the menorah. This is called the regel. So here we've got, this is what makes the person ambulatory. The spine is what keeps him straight, right? His hands are with what? That which he does pe'ulos. And the orifices are the place of his senses, yeah, where he would record, where he absorbs, right, or gives over his insight to the reality around him, or receives the reality, record, that is around him. So it's very, very fascinating.
Yes. Very interesting.
Thank you. Okay. Don't you have to get that in. Record. So now, the Rabbeinu Bachiye says, V'yodua, ki ha'neshoma, now this is a very fascinating thing also. V'yodua ki ha'neshoma, nanis v'hadlokas neros. The soul enjoys the lighting of candles. There's something about, what he called, hadlokas neros. There's a very, what he called, soothing, right, effect to it. Right? The soul enjoys it. V'hi mishaleches b'idune ahod v'asimcha. And record in the soul, the soul, right? The soul, when it's in the presence of lights, of candles, of neros, you know, oil, whatever you. It's in a stateless state of delight of glory and happiness.
You mean to edit that cough?
No. Umispashetes, umisracheves, mitocha na saora, and the soul itself kilu feels more expansive, right? In the presence of delight. Mivnei shehi chatichas or chatsuva beor haseichel. Fascinating, because the soul is like a chunk of light. I mean, you can't really call it a chunk. It's like a chunk of light from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, the source of everything. That's what the soul is. It's like what we call it. It's a Hashem is light. Yeah, like etc. A piece of that light of Hashem's light is our soul. Umin hatam hazeh nimsheches achra or shehimina, and that's why it's drawn towards light of what we call it, of a candle. Because they feel a certain similarity to one another, right? The light of the candle and the light of what he called of the soul. Even though one is physical, gufni, and hashama is ruchni, right? Zachu poshet, it's really called, it's obviously something spiritual. Hakein, himshila shlomo, alavashol nair, right? She'amar nair Hashem nishmas adam. And that's why in Mishle, right, Shlomo Melech refers to the soul as a nair, right, as a nair. Because it is where it has, and that's why it enjoys the light. First of all, this gives you a whole different feeling about Nero Shabbos, right? Right. In other words, it's like you were in the presence of a physical parallel to our souls itself, right? It just adds a whole new dimension to the way we look at Nero Shabbos. The Alshech. Now, the Alshech is also going to treat the tzur of the menorah like a person. Also, very interesting. Different, though, in his approach. Mm-hmm. Right? If we could describe the Sisse Kohen as being more, well, we could call it, I don't know, whatever, let's see. I don't need my categorizations here. Let's see. But Sisse menorah. Hu Adam. Once again, the Alshech is Hu Adam.
He's a man.
Right? It's a person. Jehu kimenora, muchan lekabel or. He is ready to receive light. Right? In other words, he's looking at the Adam in potential. The menorah is a vessel that is prepared, it has potential to give forth light. In other words, if you put the cups on the menorah, fill them with oil, put in wicks, light them, the menorah is a source of light. And so too, man is a potential source of light. The kabel or lahayir ba'olam hazeh al-yidei Torah u'maisim tovim. He can bring light to the world through his Torah and through his maisim tovim. V'akein hi yudches tvachim kemidas adam beinoni. That's why the menorah is 18 tvachim high, which I said is around about 5'9", yeah? 5 feet 9 inches, approximately, yeah? The height of an average person. V'amar she'im yoso chomer achur. And it's telling you that, but since the Maisa, the what do you call it, the man is made out of, you know, physical stuff, right? right? Chumrachur, right? Very lowly stuff. Even the menorah itself, which is made out of gold, right? But still, it's pretty close, physical. Yasa atzma yakor v'choshuv kizahav. He has to make, a person has to transform himself from dust to make himself like gold. Make himself like gold. Okay? V'shiyetor mikol sig v'chala lichluch ovon asher chata. And he has to make sure that he's cleansed of all sins. Right? In other words, in order, the menorah is our, in order for us to give forth our light of Torah and mitzvahs and maas and tovim, we need, as it were, to cleanse ourselves, right? Our lowly physicality, and make ourselves like pure gold. Lekabel ha'or, in order that we should be a proper vessel for carrying the light. V'hatznaya rishon le'oses haguf menorah tahora, hu lekabel yisurim. Interesting. The acceptance of suffering, right? The acceptance of suffering is really quite, not rebelling against that suffering. He says that's the first step. This is the Al-Shech. Fascinating.
Purifying yourself.
Right. Because if you, what do you call it? A person's hold on the physical world, a person's attachment to the physical world. We don't ask for Yisurim. But the fact is, the more that a person realizes how limited his physicality is, which is something which is experienced by what he called Yisurim, right? So the less he is entranced with what he called with physicality. V'hula kabel Yisurim, l'hatich l'mari kochala, right? V'zeh miksha te'asa menorah, right? Miksha, the way the menorah is made, the pasuk is a miksha, right? With what he called just banging of the hammer, right? Banging in order to shape it. Bang it, shape it. Right? So he says that's the first step. So I did hakos, bimakish, bikurnus, to mashal yisurim to asa menorah. The formation of the menorah requires struggle. Ubechlal hadavar, shahaisa, kula maasezav echa, lo michatichos harbe. And he says that what he called in that light, the menorah has to be one unified mass, as we said before. It's not pieces that are attached. And so too also, shlo yekol eiver mechaticha achas iveh chabra. Not that what he called that a person is like very, every part of him is like doing a different thing. Right? Okay, I'm going to take care of my hands. I'll make sure my hands do the right thing. But my eyes, the eyes, they'll do their own thing, etc. But rather, it should be all one unified effort, right? To do the same thing, to do the Ratzon Hashem. Right? Without any piruid, etc. Right? And therefore, v'hine, back in the bowl there, shlosha dvarim heim shetzorech ha'odom l'hachnia tavas yitzro behem. In order to cleanse a person, as above and beyond, what he called the Yisurim, which is the formation of the menorah, in order to cleanse a person, to cleanse his Yetzer, right? Halohem are the three things. Tashmish, what he called, a person shouldn't be overly involved in what he called, preoccupied with Tashmish, what he called, with the relations, right, etc. Doesn't mean, just means not, what he called, that's not the 24/7 occupation. Beis, Hadibur, his speech, right? You call a marbe dvar mevi chet. You talk too much, you sin, right? So to control what he called the yetzer, what he called for relations, right? That it should be appropriate at the right time and not what he called not out of control, etc. Dibur, one's speech needs to be controlled, and achila v'shtia, and one's eating and one's drinking, right? In other words, one should eat appropriately, properly, right? Not allow that to become a preoccupation of like let me stuff my gazoo, right? Al harishon amar yirecha, right? Yatashmish. That's why the menorah, it talks about the yarech ha-menorah. The yarech, like what he calls...
No?
No, yarech, what he calls, like the person's children are called yotze yarecho. In other words, with a leg. Right? In other words, what he calls that it's the thigh kilo. Right? In other words, that's the idea of yurecha. That's a remez that what he calls that the yurecha has to be gold. In other words, not what he calls be preoccupied, as it were, with that, the world of sexuality. Ki al kein nikru habanim yotze yerech avim. Right, not too much taiva. A person shouldn't preoccupy himself, always try and generate more taiva, more what you call desire, etc. Valadibur.
Maybe that's why Hashem gave all the language.
Stay calm. Like, oh yeah, well, for sure. Valadibur, right? Valadibur, speech, amar, right? The kone, these are called the kanim. Right, the branch of the mineral, but kone is also the name of the windpipe. It's called a kone. Right? A kone. But who a kone, shadibur yotu mineral, that's what he called, that's where where speech comes out of. Yezahav tahor, that a person's windpipe should be like solid gold. Right? He shouldn't say cruel things, he shouldn't say false things, he shouldn't say disgusting things, etc. When we record, zahav tahor. Right? Oli dvarim tahorim. Etc., etc., etc. Now he continues on. Vashlishi amar givieha. Right? Givieha, he says, are the cups. Right? Who givia yena. Right? The cups that you drink from. Right? Don't be preoccupied with too much drinking, right? Of alcohol, of wine, etc. In other words, every day is a party, etc. Right? The kaftorei maichel umalbush. And the kaftorim are like buttons. Right? Right? Those are like what he called, but they also are shaped like apples. So it's what he called, it's a reference to both eating and to clothing.
Which are the apples?
The kaftorim were shaped like, no, kaftorim, no, the gavim were the cups. Kaftorim were what he called, they were shaped like apples. See, here the kaftor. They were shaped like apples. And also a kaftor is like a button. Now there's the idea being that what he called, that is both his food, he should be preoccupied with his food, nor with his clothing, etc., etc., etc. And all of this is what he calls, says the Al-Sheikh, right, is part of the Tzuras Ha'adam. The Tzuras Ha'adam. So we had the Sifsei Kohen, had one picture of the menorah as the Tzuras Ha'adam. We have the Al-Sheikh, what he called, who's got a different take on the menorah as being Tzuras Ha'adam. And finally, really called here, you're once again using the same, the idea, the structure of the menorah as representing man in his world. So the Ben Abache says, "Umatzinu ba menorah shlosha dvarim." We find in the menorah once
again. Put all the Ben Abaches together. And then just skip it all back and forth.
Could you ask a relevant question, please?
I'm sorry.
Okay, that was like totally irrelevant.
That was too.
It was totally irrelevant because this was to teach a different idea, and this was to teach a different idea. I have to try and edit this, right? Which is going to take me time, and I'm upset about it. Oh. But okay, but I'll try and control myself. Okay. Umatzinu menorah shlosha dvar.
What part of the menorah is control?
They call it
the windpipe.
What do you call it? Okay, with his life, there's hope. Umatzinu b'menorah, right? Shlosha dvarim. We find in the menorah three things. Deim kaftor, gavia, uperach. Right? So here's the kaftor, here's the gavia, here's the perach. Right?
Kaftor is a switch.
These are also called kaftorim, buttons. Right? They're round, right? And you call it, and they're shaped like apples, right, etc.
6 for 100?
Fever. Umatzina ba menorah shlosha dvarim. Heim. A kaftor gavia v'perach. Kaftor tapuach agol bolet. Right? It was recorded. It wasn't flat. It was round, like an apple. V'yotze saviv hakone ha'imtzai. And it went around the central shaft. Right? Here you see the kaftorim. See, round. Right? So you go around the central shaft. Here's another one.
Buttons.
Like balls, only like tabuchim.
Central shaft.
Right. See them?
This picture's got three.
Right, it's got three, but they're supposed to be, what do you call it? They're supposed to be 11 kaftorim. 11 kaftorim. So we've got three over here, we've got one over here that's four, and here there's seven. Here, the way here it's arranged over here, you see underneath the nair?
Mm-hmm.
Right, so there's like a ball in each of the top cups. They get seven of those, then three in the shaft, then one but where the branches branch out from. Then we call it, that's what do you call it? That's seven. That's
11.
That's yeah. We need 11.
Yeah, seven on top.
No, I've got too much. I've got too many. Four. Oh no, here, right? Yeah, here. Here's one, two, three, four, and seven is 11. Right. You see the one, what do you call it? You see the three on the, where the branches come out from? And then there's, what do you call it? Then there's another one underneath it.
Oh.
Right? 11. But what is he saying here? He's saying, saviv hakonem tzoy min amon ora. Kaftor tapuach agol bolet v'yotzei saviv hakonem tzoy min amon ora. Hakaftor keneged olam amalachim. Shemis angim. Right? In other words, he's got what he called, it surrounds, I mean, it's on all parts of the Kanim. He says the round balls, that is representative of the world of the angels. The world of the angels. And his picture over here, he's making for us a different diagram. In other words, the Sifse Kohen and the Al-Sheikh had us recall the menorah forming a diagram of the person. Here is the diagram of the world within which the person, recall, exists.
Well, you just said it was the angels.
Right, so the world of the angels, right, time out, you'll see in a second.
Wasn't he what the angel looks like?
Records the okay, Zeo Kaftor Shu Ogul Kia Eagle Ainlo Rosh, right? Oh, I skipped here. The Malachim Shem Misangi Miziva Shina, the what he called the Malachim, delight in the presence of the Shina, right? Bitanu Shainlo Sof Batachlis, right? Just like which is circular. Has no beginning or end, just is constantly going around, etc. So the malachim are living in a world of spiritual delight. V'zeu kaftor shu agol, ki ha'igul ein lo rosh v'sof. It has no beginning and no end. V'alatanu gazeh romzu chazal chach me'emes b'midrashim asi l'kosh brok l'asos mechol l'tzadikim. And what do you call that? Our olam haba, right? Is also in that same pattern. It says in the Gemara in Tainis that in the future the tzaddikim will receive a reward. Hakadosh Baruch Hu will make for them a circle, mechol la tzaddikim, right? He will make like a dancing circle, everybody going around. The idea being what he calls is going around and around and around and around, right? Mechol la tzaddikim lo asid lavo uchvodo beinehem, and Hakadosh Baruch Hu's kavod is in the middle, etc. In other words, revolving around that central point. So that's the world of reward. Ki amachol hu agul ve'ein lo rosh ve'osof. L'chein him shalatan hu ganefosh she'ein lo sof l'machol she'ein lo sof. So that's what we call, that's the decoration of the kaftor. The gavia hu kli she'ish bo beis kibul. They what we call the gavia, right, is what he calls a cup. It has there's a recess inside for being able to obviously put liquids. Vu mashke umarve keneger olam agalgalim she mekablim kochos elyonim umashpiim koach baolam ashafel. You pour into a cup, you pour out of a cup. So the gavim are the representative of the what he called of the world, what he called of the astrological signs of the constellations of the stars, what he called. In other words, those are the conduits by which the kochos from Shemayim send down their hashpa down to the earth. So the malachim, right, their world is represented by what he called by being in a place of delight. The gavim is what he called is representative of a cup receiving from above and then pouring down below. Receiving from above and pouring down below. That's the world of the Galgalim. Of the Galgalim. Right? Of the, what do you call it, of the signs of the zodiac, the constellations, etc. They recall that become the conduits for a transferal of Shefa from Shemaim down onto the earth. V'haperach, right? Haperach hu keneged olam ha-shafel, hazeh, shesham kol gidulei ha'aretz, tzmochim, prochim, v'tzitzim. He says that the prachim is representative of that which grows. So we have the malachim, his world is represented by the kaftorim. Mm-hmm. We've got the world of the galgalim, receiving shefa, receiving plenty from above and pouring down below is represented by the gavim. And we've got the prachim representative of the growth here on earth. Very interesting. All of this, yeah, mm-hmm. Right? Now, next, the pasuk says, Vasisa menorah zahav. Now a new section. Right? This is our kol b'siyata d'shmaya. All of our accomplishments, right? What he called, in other words, the menorah. We spoke about what he called, certainly in the Sifse Kohen and in the Al-Shech. We talk about the menorah as being representative of what a person is and can be, etc. Now, in the creation of the menorah, we see how, what do you call it, how all of this requires siyata d'shamayim, because the menorah, it says, vasisa menorah zav, you shall make a menorah zav, mikshata se oso, te'aseh, right? You see, it says, miksha te'aseh, not ta'aseh, te'aseh, it will be made, right? A menorah, yirecha, kanal, gviyah, kaptereh, frachem, mimena yum. So Rashi learns on the word te'aseh means it will be made. Not you will make it. It will be made. So Rashi says, me'ilel, v'shaya Moshe miskasheba. Right? Moshe had difficulty.
What's the difference?
What he called, ta'aseh means you make it.
Right.
Te'aseh means it will be made. Lav gafka, the Jew made it. It will be made.
Oh, I mean, the Jew has to make it?
Again, what do you call, if you say ta'aseh, means Moshe, you have to do it. You have to make it. Right? If you say te'aseh, it will be made. It doesn't say necessarily you're going to make it. It will just, it will be made.
I mean,
it doesn't say. So we're going to see in a second, because Moshe, like Rashi says, Levisha haya Moshe miskasheba. Omer lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ashleich es hakikar lo'or, v'inasis me'elea, l'chach lo nichtav ta'aseh. Right? The reason why it says te'aseh is because Moshe had difficulty, as it were, right, determining how to make it. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, right? He showed him what he called, it's an interesting thing. It says, he showed him a picture of it. Well, first of all, he says, Rashi says, throw it into the fire, and it came out on its own. That's what Rashi says. So the Gur Aryeh says over here, and the commentary on Rashi, the Maral's commentary on Rashi, he says, B'tanchuma parshas baloscha. So here Rashi says, he threw it into the fire and it came out on its own. That's why it says te'aseh. In the Medrash, in Baloscha, in Bamidbar, it says, v'zeh ma'aseh menorah, shehera HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'etzba, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu pointed it out, be'etzba, he showed Moshe, right, zeh ma'aseh menorah, this is how you should make it. L'fi sheniskasheba, because he had difficulty making it. So we've got two contradictory sources. One, both sources agree that Moshe had difficulty making it, right? But one source says, Hashem pointed to it and says, this is what you should do, this is how you shall make it. And the other source says, Hashem says, throw it into the fire and it'll come out on its own. So b'kitzur, what the Maral says, that both are true. But Hashem first showed him, and as Hashem is showing him, Moshe began to make it. And then says, and now once you've started to make it, throw the metal into the fire and it'll come out complete. And the idea being is that a person can never finish the job on his own. Right? It's so interesting, dafka by the menorah, right? Because since the menorah is the symbol of man himself, of making man into himself, giving birth to himself, making himself into the golden menorah that he has the potential to be, he always needs siyata d'shmaya. He has to start on his own, right? And then Hashem will aid him. And that's the symbolism of the two sources. One says, what do you call, Hashem shows him what to do, and Moshe, as the Maral says, and Moshe began to do it. And then what do you call, and then the other source says, throw it into the fire, it'll come out on its own. Because both are needed. We need to do our part, right? And then we have to know that Hashem will give us siyata d'shmaya to help the job be finished. And it's dafka l'gabi, the menorah of all the kelim, of all the kelim in the mikdash. This is the one that we call that's spoken about, because it, again, thinking about the symbolism of the menorah, especially if you think about the symbolism of the menorah being like the, what do you call it, like the shtipsei kohen, or like the, what do you call it, the al shechsed, it's talking about the formation of man to perfect oneself. One needs to put in one's effort. And Beis Hashem, Hashem will give him siyata d'shmaya.
Amen.
Okay. Let's just recall, let's just, right, over here, but a few more.
That doesn't apply just to the menorah, it applies to all efforts.
I understand, but particularly, but really, the goal of all of one's efforts in this world, really, is to give birth to oneself. Right? That's the goal of everything.
Really, give birth to
yourself. To make yourself into a perfected individual. Right? The way you do business, the way you conduct your family life, the way you, what do you call it, the way you eat, the way you drink, the way you, what do you walk in the street, the way you converse with people, the way you do everything, is all part of what you call transforming the world that's around you in your contact with it, and through that you transform yourself. Here, the menorah in a person's Torah, It's interesting. Vasisis Neroser Shiva, right? There are seven recalled cups to hold the oil, the hairless Neroser, the hair, El Avir Poneha. And the record, and the it's meant to light El Avir Poneha. What is Avir Poneha? Avir Poneha, towards its face. It says Rashi, the Avir, Avir Poneha. Asa pi sheshes hanero shivrosh yakonim, right?
I understand what you're saying there.
We record this pasuk here. Vasisis neroser shiva vehelas in neroser vehayer el aver paneh. What does it mean, aver paneh? Towards its face, right? What does it mean, towards its face? What's face? So Rashi says.
Lamed Zion.
Where's Lamed Zion? Pasuk Lamed Zion. Yeah. Perikavachay pasuk Lamed Zion. Right? Rashi says vehayer el aver paneh. Ase pi sheshes haneros, right? See this? See the way what do you call it? The fires are aligned, right? The mouth all aligned towards the center. That's what Rashi's referring to.
All the candles?
Right. Right. All pointing towards the middle. Right? Shiroshia Kani Mayotzi Mitzida Misubavim Klapi Emtsoi Kedeshu Neros Keshatadlika Mi'irim El Aver Paneha. So the light should shine towards the middle. Musav Oram Al Tzad Hakone Haimtsoi Shugufa Menorah. Right? It should point towards the central shaft, because that's the Gufa Menorah. Right? Gufa Menorah. Rashi says, not here, but he says in Bamidbar, in Parshas Baloscha, also about El Mu Pnei Menorah, right? Right? In Baloscha it says El Mu Pnei Menorah. In by us in our parsha it says El Haver Paneha, right? But towards the Panim of the Menorah. So Rashi says over here, why was it that it should all point towards the middle? Because
the middle is considered the Panim?
It's called the Pnei Menorah, right. So what do you call it? So now, when you think about it, right? When you think about it, so Rashi says, why is it at all point towards the middle? He says Rashi there in Bamidbar in Parshas Baloscha, you shouldn't think that the menorah is here to give light to Hashem. In other words, you could have thought it's such an interesting thing. I mean, what does it mean? Obviously, we know Hashem doesn't need any light, right? Hashem creates the world. But you could have thought that the purpose of the menorah is just to create a glorious atmosphere inside the Mishkan, which is meant to be the home of Hashem. Right? But it's not. It all points towards the middle. Says Rashi, Kadesh lo yom la'orahu tzorich. It's in other words, to teach us that it's not that the menorah is here to create a glorious atmosphere in the Mishkan, but rather to show that it's not for that purpose. What is its purpose?
So if we think back to the Al Shech and to the
Sifse Kohen, that the central shaft, right? The central shaft, especially what we call the way Sifse Kohen Kenner, the central shaft, what we call the top candle, is it where is the mouth, right? The mouth. Right, that's where a person gives expression, right, to would call to all of the ruchnius that's inside of him, right. That's the place where he's going to speak out his divrei Torah, etc. So it's all pointing. In other words, the glory of the Mishkan is if man finds his glory by transforming himself into a glorious individual, into a golden menorah, right. And it is all pointing towards the menorah. That's the goal of the Mishkan. And there's the glory to glorify Hashem. It's true, it creates glory. All these kelim are beautiful. They glorify the Mishkan. But the glory of Hashem is not because Hashem needs the glory. The methodology, yeah? The methodology of creating a glorious atmosphere of Hashem is really for the purpose of what he called, of the glory of what he called man, of transforming man from just a homo sapien, from just a hominis erectus, into to the tzelem elokim that he's meant to be. To be what he called a Jew whose all his orifices are holy, whose his actions are holy, his behavior is holy, his words are holy. So it all points towards the middle. And it's really cool. It's just an interesting thing. It's an interesting thing that right.
We should walk around with a menorah.
We should try and be a menorah. Okay. right? To show the same terminology, v'chila oruhu tzarich, right? That Rashi used here by us. That same terminology is also found in the Gemara and Shabbos, right? Talking about the ner hamaravi that always remained lit. To show the Shechina is Shora in the actions of Klal Yisrael, right? And as a human being, the Kohen lit a candle. He lit the Ner Maravi. It had the same amount of oil as all the other cups, and yet it stayed lit longer than all of them. To show that in an act of a Jew, right, that you can generate Shechina here. A person can turn himself into a vehicle for carrying the Shechina. Right, and then we quote here, we just said some points here from the Hamikdavar record. I don't want to belabor the point. The Hamikdavar tells us that the symbolism of the menorah was Torah Shabbal Peh. Right? We've talked about this before, that the symbolism of the menorah was Torah Shabbal Peh. The symbolism of the Aron HaKodesh was Torah Shabbal, and the symbolism of the menorah was Torah Shabbal Peh. Torah Shabbal Peh. Right? So once again, if we think about, right, we think about the Derech Agav, we brought from the Kinos, right, on Tisha B'Av. Right, that when Rav Shimon Gamaliel's head was chopped off, right, it was one of the 10 martyrs who died. His head was chopped off, and Rav Shmuel Kohen Gadol cradled his head in his hands. And he called him HaMenorah HaTahora, the Holy Menorah. Right, the Holy Menorah, because he was the head of the Sanhedrin. He was the Holy Menorah. So again, let's get this straight. The symbolism of what he calls, certainly the way the Al Sheikh and the way the Sifsei Kohen pointed out for us, what he calls the symbolism of the menorah is the person, right? The formation of the person to transform oneself into a golden menorah. Rashi tells us that all the candles focus towards the middle, the Pnei menorah, right? And what he calls the Sifsei Kohen told us that the central shaft of the menorah is representative of the person's mouth, etc. And then Tziv told us that the menorah b'chlal record is representative of Torah Shabbal Peh, parallel to the what do you call it, the Aron being representative of Torah Shabbal Chsav, right? Torah Shabbal Peh. And then from the Kinos we saw that what do you call it, the Rishim Gamliel was the head of the Sanhedrin, is called the Menorah Tahorah, the Holy Menorah, etc.
The Mishkan was the Korah b'Baal Peh Akasav.
The what do you call it? The Aron HaKodesh.
The Aron.
What do you call it? Where the Luchos were. That was representative of Torah Shabbat. And the Menorah is representative of Torah Shabbal Peh. And all the, what do you call it? All the light is focusing towards that central shaft. Why? Because it's true, the Mishkan is a glorious place, but the reason that all this glory is there is that man should glorify himself by him becoming an Ovid Hashem, glorify himself by transforming himself into a holy menorah. Another perish, right? What do you call it? Another perish on the, what do you call it? The Heyer El Aver Panel, that the what do you call it? It should all point El Aver Paneha, right? So we said, according to Rashi, like as we it appears over here, all of them as it were going towards the central shaft. But the what do you call it? The Balei Tosfos learn, what does it mean? Aver Paneha means facing where? Facing the Shulchan. The Heyer al Aver Paneha. Hashulchan Shaya Keneged Paneha. Lo Heyer Hashulchan Shaya. What he called a menorah. In the menorah, what he called, he's going with the idea that the menorah is aligned east west. Okay? East west. That's what he called it. Let me find a picture just so you can see it over here. The menorah. Right, here. Here's a picture of the Mishkan. Where is it?
I ain't bringing up the pictures.
Well, I had the pictures before, but he was going to picture the whole Mishkan. Where's the picture of the whole Mishkan?
So what are you saying then?
I'm telling you, you say, just wait 1 second. Okay. The picture of the Mishkan, no? Where's the... Oh, here it is. He's understanding the menorah not aligned like this, but aligned like this. East-west, okay? Like I said, it's a machlokas. Here's the shulchan over here. So the face of the menorah, this is aligned east-west, its face is towards the Shulchan.
Right.
So he understands the wisdom of Balei Tosfos that the idea of that the light should be towards its face rather than the way Rashi was saying that all should be focused towards the central shaft, right? Yeah. Towards the formation of the person, right, yeah. Etc. He's saying all should be faced towards the Shulchan. Towards the Shulchan. The light should be towards the Shulchan. Nearly upshot, what do you call it, et cetera, he said, why? So I dare say, what's the point of that? The idea is, the Shulchan is a symbol of a person's parnasa. And as the person turns himself into a menorah, His light should shine onto the shulchan. In other words, what he called, he shouldn't live a dichotomous life. Right? He shouldn't live a dichotomous life where his own involvement in spirituality is parsed out, is separate, is cut off from his relationship to how he earns a living, how he lives in the everyday world, but rather the light of the menorah should shine upon the shulchan. So it's a separate lesson. Right? The light of the menorah should shine upon the shulchan. That's where Baal Tosfos learns it. And finally,
sure about that?
And finally, right? What do you call one more? The Svarno says again. It's not over here. It's 17 Parshas Baloska. The Menorah spoke about it in several places. It spoke about it here. It spoke about it in Baloska. It spoke about it in Emor, right? So what does it say? It says Daber El Aron Vamarti Elav Baloska. So there was a Mul Pnei Menorah, right? Once again, Mul Pnei, but the Pnei Menorah says the Svarno. Why towards the center? He says, because what do you call the menorah is representative of the Jewish people. The right hand side of the menorah is representative of those people who are involved in learning all the time, says the what do you call the Svarno. The left hand side of the menorah, right, is what do you call are the people who are involved in making a parnassah in addition to learning, right? But they're not totally involved in learning all the time. Right? They both need each other. They both need each other. If there's in kemach in Torah, in Torah in kemach, right? If there's nobody called, there's no sections of Kleistro steeped always in learning, then Kleistro doesn't have atzlocha in their parnasa. Mitzacheni, if there's no parnasa, but called to be able to feed the other people, then they can't learn, right? They need each other. They're all focused towards the middle, the central shaft, which is the truth, right? Everybody in his derech, everybody in his portion, they're all focused towards the central shaft, which is the truth. And he says, and that is the Yisod, concludes the, what he called the Svarno. That is what when Klai Yisrael said in Matan Torah, Kol Asher Dibur Hashem Naaseh, that everything Hashem said we will do, what does it mean? Bein Kulanu Nashlim Kavanoso. Between all of us, between all of us, we work together, right? And we focus on the central staff, which is the truth, right? Both those who are involved in learning all the time and those who are involved in working and learning, if they're focused towards the central shaft, then everything that Hashem said, we will do, we will accomplish all together. So different symbolisms of the menorah, I think, very, very useful for us.
Very good, very nice.